This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a community church located in Aurora, Illinois. For more information, go to orchardvalleyonline.com.
Did you guys hear that quote? A mind, like a home, is furnished by its owner. So if one's life is cold and bare, he can blame no one but himself. Wow. What a quote. You know, the human mind is an amazing thing, isn't it? I mean, really, if you think about how our mind is just amazing. I mean, there have been, of course, tons of research done on the human brain. In fact, I read somewhere the other day that humans think somewhere around 12,000 thoughts per day. And I'm still getting a horrible echo. Could you work on that for me? Thank you. But I read somewhere that humans think about 12,000 thoughts a day. And if you're like a real brainiac, or if you're a real, you know, what's the word? Deep thinker, that's probably better. Then you think somewhere around like 50,000 thoughts a day. Pretty amazing. I mean, the whole, you know, you got the whole right brain, the whole left brain thing. In fact, can we do something this morning that to tell you the truth, has nothing to do with my talk, but I think it'd be fun. Would that be all right with you guys? You cool with that? All right, let's try something. I need everybody to do this to really make it fun. So here's what I want you to do. While you're sitting in your chair right now, I want you to take your right foot. I want you to put it up in the air and show it to me. No, I'm just kidding. Some of you are like, no, are you kidding? No, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit there and lift your right leg up, and I want you to do a clockwise circles with your foot. Clockwise. That means, you know, a clock. There's one in the back if you need to look at it. Anyway, you just go ahead and go ahead and do clockwise circles. Now, while you're doing the clockwise circles, I want you to lift your right hand up. And while you're still moving your leg, I want you to draw the number 6 in the air with your hand. Oh, what happened there, huh? Wow, wasn't that something? It changed direction, didn't it? Well, now that you've all had a workout this morning, I'm sure you feel much better. Yeah, the human mind, it's an amazing thing. You know, yet like so many other areas of our lives, our thinkers, our coconuts, our brains, whatever you want to call them, have the tendency to get cluttered and to get full of debris from time to time, don't they? I mean, we all know that. I mean, just like our relationships, our finances, and even as we looked at these past few weeks, areas like our attitudes and our spiritual lives, our relationship with God, even at times can get cluttered. But, you know, because we follow a God who just loves us so much and wants us to experience His goodness in His life, He has given us some great insight on how we can really simplify these areas of our lives. And of course, that insight is found in the Scriptures, in God's Word. That's right, the Bible, man, has a lot to say to us about simplifying our lives, how to cut out the clutter and remove the debris that so often causes us to get off track. And of course, along with all these other areas of life the Scriptures address, man, Scriptures even have a lot to say about our minds, which is a good thing, isn't it? Because, I mean, if you think about it, our minds are really the most important aspect of our lives. I mean, outside of our spirits. But because, if you think about it, it's our minds that every reaction, every thought, every response begins in your mind. I mean, it all begins with a thought. Now, of course, some of those thoughts are conscious thoughts that we really think through a lot. There's other times in our life we do things that, of course, we go, what were we thinking? Were we thinking? Or just things that we do that are just so habitual that we don't even think about it anymore. You know, Amanda and I, we just flew back from the East Coast yesterday, and we spent some time in New York City and celebrating our 10-year wedding anniversary. Oh, yeah. And she agreed to another 10 years, so I'm really happy. Anyway, and then we went to, as you can see, Washington, D.C. for some church stuff, just to do that video for you. No, I'm just kidding. But you better believe, man, that navigating our way around the Big Apple, man, required a lot of conscious effort. It required us to really think about what we were doing. You know, it wasn't just automatic. For example, when we decided that we wanted to take a walk across the Brooklyn Bridge, which if you've never done that, you have to. It's an awesome experience. One of my favorite things to do when I'm in the city there. But I'll tell you what, when we decided to do that, man, our minds had to cognitively think about which subway to take to Lower Town Manhattan. And then we had to think about, okay, what streets do we take to get to the bridge? See, our journey began with a thought, but it was a very intentional thought, one we had to really think through. Okay, well then, on the other hand, there are of course, those things that we do that begin in our minds but occur on a much more subconscious level. For example, if Amanda and I were walking across the Brooklyn Bridge and someone tried mugging us, without even thinking about it, we would run. We would be out of there. But seriously, think about this. I mean, you wake up in the morning, okay, you walk into the shower, you wash. Typically, those are things you really don't think that much about. Hopefully. I mean, hopefully, you know, you just do them. If you have to really think about washing, you should probably do it more often. Anyway. Anyway, but regardless of whether or not a specific action is intentional or not, man, they all begin at some point in our minds. They all begin as a thought. And so I think it's safe to say that, man, our minds are very important. And you know, it's interesting because overall, we as humans, we tend to be quite serious about what we put into the things that really matter to us. For example, people are pretty careful about what they put in their cars. Stop pinching that child. My goodness. Just kidding. But I mean, think about it. People are... This is painful. Anyway, people are pretty careful about what they put in their cars. Or their kids are pretty careful what they put in their kids. I mean, you're not going to put your baby's milk in your car. You're not going to put, like, the oil in your baby's bottle. It's just not going to happen. And especially people really care about what they put in their bodies. I mean, a lot of people do. In fact, you know, what you put in your body has become, like, this multi-billion dollar industry. And if you have you noticed that, like, suddenly everybody's an expert on how to take care of yourself? Everybody. Oh, hey, Scott, listen, man, you got to, no carbs, dude? That's the way to go. No carbs, protein all the way, bacon, eggs, no carbs. No. Forget that one, Scott. No, it's high carb, low fat. No. Okay, here's the key. No sugar, ever. No sugar. Or you know, the bars. You got to eat the bars, Scott, the power bars. You know. Or then you got what works for me, and that's, you know, Chicago deep dish pizza. Anyway. But, you know, it's amazing how aware we are about the stuff that we put into things that matter to us. Yet at the same time, when it comes to the most important aspect of our lives, our minds, and we seem to disregard what we put into it or how we use it. And so instead of having a simplified mind, we have just the opposite. We have a cluttered mind. I mean, think about it. How many times a day or a week, probably a day, if you're like me, do you think, man, I've just got to get away. I just got to clear my mind. Or man, gosh, I just can't stop thinking about such and such. Or man, I just can't get my work done. Man, I'm just consumed with this thought. My mind just feels so cluttered. Look, if that's you, congratulations, because you are just like the rest of us who struggle with our minds. I mean, here's the thing. Here's why this is a problem. A cluttered mind, left undealt with, will eventually result in a cluttered life. I mean, think about it. A mind that is not well taken care of will ultimately result in a life that is not well taken care of. I mean, this is true on so many different levels of our lives, and it ends up, man, and it can end up, man, literally affecting every dimension of our lives. I mean, for example, you take a person who've been told maybe all their lives that they're no good, or that they don't deserve to be loved, or that they don't deserve to be cared for, and maybe they weren't said that, told that verbally, but maybe there were other things that spoke that to them as a child or as a teenager or whatever. And I'll tell you what, if that person's mind becomes filled with that kind of thinking, man, I can pretty much guarantee you that this person is probably going to struggle in life with things like self-esteem, or perhaps the way in which they view themselves. And in fact, on top of that, not only will it affect them, but it'll affect their relationships with others. It will affect how they relate to God, how they relate to their coworkers, their boss, or whoever. And you know, I know that there are probably some of you here today who you wrestle with that. And maybe you were raised in a home where you didn't feel that love. And you struggle to this day with things like self-esteem or relating to people in authority or just whatever it might be. And I just want you to know that you're in the right place today. Because there's hope. And God has a reason for you being here today. I really believe that. I don't believe that it's an accident that any of you are here today. You know, one of the things I pray every weekend when I'm driving in on Sunday morning, I say, God, bring the people to the Orchard that you want to be there today. And so I have to believe that every one of you here are here on purpose, that God has you here. You know, there are other ways that a cluttered mind can cause difficulty in our lives, perhaps in a much more subtle way. As a business person or whatever job you have, you know, if you allow your mind to be cluttered and full of unorganized thoughts and unresolved problems, man, it will result in decreased productivity. And here's what will happen. All of a sudden, instead of taking like an hour to come up with a solution like it normally would, if your mind is cluttered and full of debris, instead of taking an hour, it takes you two or three, sometimes a day or two or even a week, because you have so much clutter in your mind that you can't even think clearly. And I could go on and on, but man, the bottom line is this. When my mind becomes cluttered, man, when it becomes full of unnecessary or even wrong thoughts, man, it will almost always play out in our lives in our behavior in one way or another. And the reason for that is because our minds weren't made to be cluttered. That's right, our minds were not created to be cluttered. I mean, sure, they're made to store a lot of information, but man, our Creator, our God, who designed the most intricate details of our bodies and our minds, did not create our minds to be full of debris and clutter. And God never intended for our minds to be full of things like the negative and wrong thoughts that we all have the tendency to dwell on way too much. Or things like unorganized thinking that causes huge stress and frustration in the home or in the workplace. Or the wrong beliefs that we hold on to and that, man, come hell or high water, I'm holding on to this wrong belief. No one's going to take this away from me. Man, our minds were not created to be cluttered. Things like the hurt and the pain that our minds get filled with when we don't deal with the hurt in our lives, so we don't deal with the difficulties of life. Man, our minds weren't made for that. Our minds were created to be simple. Everybody say simple. Our minds were created to be simple. Now by simple, I don't mean like ignorant or unintelligent or dim. But by simple, I really mean a mind that is creative. A mind that is free-flowing with fresh, innovative ideas. Or a mind that is organized and sharp and always expanding and always growing, you know, and a mind that, man, that is full of godly thoughts and wisdom. And that's the kind of mind that God has intended for each and every one of us to have. It's a simple mind. So if that's the case, how do we do it, man? How do we simplify? I mean, how do we think in a way that lines up our life and lines up our thinking with how God wants us to think? Well, first of all, I wish I could stand up here and tell you that it's easy. Wouldn't that be great? But of course it's not. In fact, I would love to be able to stand up here and say, listen, when you give your life to Jesus, man, then suddenly your mind becomes hijacked by God and you think right all the time. Wouldn't that be great? But then we'd be robots. So God didn't create us that way. Sure, your spirit is reborn, but your mind, that thing, that nugget will always give you trouble. I mean, look, your mind will give you trouble till the day you die. And then when you die, it gives everybody else that's left behind a lot of trouble too. Anyway, I mean, but think about it. Wrong thinking is easy. I mean, I don't like wake up every day going, you know, I don't struggle with thinking wrong. Do you? I mean, it's just, it's there. I mean, it's like, hello, neon lights, you know? But, you know, there are some things I think we can do in our lives that will help us simplify, help us to have the kind of mind God wants us to have. Okay, Scott, just give it to us. Give us the six steps to simplify our minds? Well, I don't really have like six steps, but I do want to throw a bunch of things out to you. So if you have your bulletins, open them up. You're going to see just a bunch of lines because I didn't get the notes to the person on time this week to get them in there. So anyway, I was going to give you some big spiritual reason. I was in prayer all week and I didn't get to the notes. No, I was on a vacation. Anyway, but I do want to share with you a handful of things that I think will help you and me as we work at minimizing the clutter that takes place in our life. Now, understand this, okay? Getting our minds in the right place is both a spiritual and natural or practical matter. Did you hear what I said? Okay, look, it's a spiritual and practical matter. For example, okay, it's spiritual in the sense that God tells us a lot about how and what we should be thinking. For example, the Apostle Paul, okay, in writing to a group of Christ followers in Rome, gave a great word of encouragement found in Romans chapter 12. If you can look at our screens here, this is what he says, Romans 12, 2. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. Now, he's talking about a mindset. When I was a kid, it was really lame. Pastors and church people used to always use that scripture, don't be conformed to this world, don't listen to rock and roll, don't wear blue jeans. What? You know, Jesus wore blue jeans, don't you know that? Anyway. It's talking about a mindset. He said, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then listen to this. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. In other words, Paul's saying, look, listen, don't think like everybody else thinks, which is pretty much void of God and absent of what He has to say. Because here's why. Paul says, here's why. Okay, there's a great motivation here. Because if you'll let God change the way you think, you'll understand so much more about God's will for your life. And he says, let God transform you by changing the way you think. And then over and over in the scriptures, we are given great advice on how we should think and what we should be setting our minds on. Proverbs 23 is a great scripture. In Proverbs 23, it tells us we should direct our minds in the way of the Lord. And I love that, direct. That means you have to do something. It's not automatic. You have to work at it. You have to be intentional. You have to direct your mind in the way of the Lord. So, simplifying, clearing the clutter is a very spiritual issue. But it's also very practical, okay? Practical, okay, in the sense that you and I, okay, we can do everything right spiritually and still not have a simple mind. In other words, you can fill your mind with hundreds of scriptures, which in and of itself is a good thing. But if you don't take care of the practical application of those scriptures, yeah, you will still have a cluttered and complicated mind. Look, I've seen this all my life. I was raised, you know, most of you know this, I was raised in churchianity, and I was raised in a pastor's home. I've been on staff at three churches, and I'm leading this church here. And I can't even begin to tell you how many people I've known in my life who had all sorts of great Bible knowledge, but never applied it to their lives, which is a serious problem. In fact, James tells us in the scriptures, James 1:22, he said, it is a message to obey, not just listen to. In fact, he says, if you don't obey, you are only fooling yourself. Which is why I love it when some of you come up to me and you'll say, Scott, you know, hey, man, when you said that in that one talk you gave, or when you did, you know, when you shared the scripture, man, it really changed the way I think about the situation. Or I've noticed that the behavior in my life has begun changing. Man, when I hear that, that is awesome. Because that's why we do this every weekend. Well, we're not just throwing out a bunch of stuff for the sake of information. We're sharing with you things for the sake of transformation. So that your life can be transformed by God. So, everybody say, that's good? About to preach. Anyway. So simplifying our minds, very, very, very practical issue, very much a discipline in our lives. But on the other side of the coin, here's the deal. You can have the most organized and clear mind possible, but if you ignore the spiritual side of it all, and you will always, and so many of you know this because you've been there, you will always find a void or hole in your heart, and no matter how hard you try filling that void with everything in the world, man, you'll realize, man, that can't be filled by anything else than my Creator, my God. So, spiritual and practical, they go hand in hand. Now, let's begin by talking about the spiritual side. Let me give you a couple things here. And then we'll close out by talking about some very practical things that will help us simplify and organize our minds. Now, let's begin in the book of 2 Corinthians, okay? In the New Testament, those of you who might be new to the Bible, in the New Testament, there's a collection of letters written by the Apostle Paul, who wrote to different churches that he had spiritual oversight of. And in 1 and 2 Corinthians are two letters written to a church in the city of Corinth. And Paul, and he just hammers some important truths about our mind. Let me show you this. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, don't check out on me. I'll explain this. Verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, let me make this simple for you, okay? Paul begins verse 3 by making a point that we sometimes forget in our lives. He says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." In other words, look, Paul says, you and I are in a war. That's right, we're in a battle, okay? But keep in mind that this battle is not a physical battle. That's why when you try to attack spiritual issues via physical means, it just doesn't work. I mean, Paul says, okay, sure, we're human, we have flesh, we have blood, but the battle that we're in is not physical, it's a spiritual issue. It's a battle, really, you could say it's a battle between good and evil. Oh, man, you mean like Star Wars? Well, it's sort of. But without like the lightsabers and the Princess Leia hairdos. Anyway, we're in a battle. And guess what side God is heading up? God is heading up the good side because God is good. And he is calling us to experience the way of Jesus, which is the best way to live. And then on the other side, our enemy, Satan, is doing everything he can to show us a different way, an evil way. And I know some of you are thinking right now, whoa. Time out. Did you just say like, did you say Satan as in like, could it be Satan? Like that? I mean, are you saying that he's real? No. That's not what I'm saying. No. But it is what the Bible's saying. It's what the Scriptures tell us. And not only does the Bible tell us that our enemy is very real, man, but he is on the prowl. Man, he is doing everything he can to get us to go a way that on the surface looks much easier and looks much more appealing at times, but in the long run, only ends up messing us up in a big way. And then our God, our Creator, man, he doesn't want that. So what does he do? He extends an invitation to us to join on a journey with him that, if we're honest, isn't always easy and can just be downright difficult at times. But man, one that will result in true, abundant life. So Paul says, okay, there's a battle. It's not physical, it's spiritual. And then in verse 5, he starts telling us that our minds, okay, the way we think has a lot to do with how well we're going to do in the battle. He says this, the weapons are not physical, natural weapons. They are spiritual ones, and we fight this battle by, look at the Scripture, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Man, this is good stuff. He says, okay, here's what we need to do, okay? We need to cast down imaginations, or you could say reasonings, same thing. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had trouble with your brain getting in the way of what God wants you to do? Oh, man. Look, one of the things you'll discover about following Jesus, if you haven't already, is that his way and your way don't always mix. Which is why it's not always easy following Jesus, right? I mean, listen, your brain, okay, will give you every reason in the world why not to do things God's way. Man, our society, our culture screams opposite of what God says. Think about this. Jesus says, okay, forgive as you have been forgiven by me. What do we say? No. No. Our brain is thinking, WWF SmackDown is what we're thinking. And then Jesus said, okay, Jesus says, okay, others first, you last. And what do our brains say? Me, 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 me. Or if you're French, moi, moi. I'm sorry, that's really cheesy. Anyway, that was funnier early this morning. Anyway, that was before the blood was really flowing, the oxygen. Anyway, man, we're in a battle. And man, the truth is the way of Jesus does not always jive with the way of you and me. And so Paul says, cast down those reasons that we come up with as to why our way's better. And then he says, okay, in addition to those reasonings, he says, also take care of every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, what's the knowledge of God? It is the Scriptures. It is the Bible. That's why you need to open up the Bible and find out what is the knowledge of God. What does God say to us about our lives? And again, man, the more you open up the Bible, and the more you read and you study what God has to say to us about our lives, the more you'll begin realizing that there's oftentimes this huge conflict between what God's Word says and what Scott's Word says, or what your Word says. And Paul says, hey, you know what? If that thought, or if that wrong way that you've been thinking is different than what God says, he says, drop kick it, man. Get rid of it. Cast it down. And see, again, here's what happens. We read a scripture. Maybe we hear a preacher say something like, you know, you can do everything that God has called you to do. And even God says that. Scripture says you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. All things meaning things he's called you to do in your life. But human brain, society, culture says, forget about it. Oh, yeah, it says, no way, man, it's just too hard. It's too difficult. Just give up. It's okay to settle. Just settle. It's okay. Good is fine. You don't need great. Go with good. See, there's a conflict, and Paul says, don't let there be this conflict. God says, I love you unconditionally. Oh, I love you unconditionally. In fact, God says, Jesus says, look, I love you so much that there's nothing you can do to change that. I love you to the very core. And what do our brains say? Our brains go, huh? Tilt. Because it's hard to grasp that. And Paul says, hey, that thought you have right now, man, if it doesn't agree with what God says, then lose it. Forget about it. Let go of it. He says, do the Backstreet Boys. Bye, bye, bye. Oh yeah. Anyway. That's another thing that was funnier this morning. Anyway, I'm just gonna forget it all. Anyway. Then he closes. I heard the song like in the airport or something. Anyway, and then he closes the scripture by telling us one more thing to do with these non-God thoughts. Okay, he says this: bring into captivity. Would you say that word with me? Captivity. Say it again. Captivity. He says, bring into captivity every thought. Not like every fourth thought. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, he says, okay, don't just get rid of the wrong thought. He says, do you guys remember Wonder Woman? Do you guys remember her? Oh, yeah. All the dudes are like, oh, yeah. Wonder Woman. Anyway, no. He says, you guys remember Wonder Woman had this golden lasso. Do you remember this lasso? And like all the guys are like, she can capture me in that. Anyway, this was like the truth teller lasso, okay? And when Wonder Woman would get that lasso out, and if you get caught in that lasso, guess what happens? You have to tell the truth. Well, that's what God says to do. God says, okay, get out the Wonder Woman truth-telling lasso, okay? And when you get the wrong thought, capture that thought. Pull it in and make it tell you the truth. Oh, this is good. I mean, think about it. Okay, a thought comes. Okay, Scott, you're a failure. Man, you're a low-down, no-good guy who just ought to just give it all up. Whoa, wait a minute. Does this jive with what God says? What does God say? Oh, well, let me get out the rope. I'm going to grab that thought, and I'm going to replace it with what God says. So the thought says, you're a loser. You are going to fail. You are not good enough. God's word says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm made in His image. The Bible tells me I am more than a conqueror through Christ. So, we don't just get rid of the thought, we replace the thought with what God says. That's good stuff. Anyway, so, on the spiritual side of things, here's what you can write down in your notes if you're taking notes. Number one, cast down wrong thoughts. Number two, replace them with what God says. So simple, right? But man, you know what? This can be hard because so many of us are so used to responding, or we're used to thinking the wrong way, we need to like reprogram our brains. It's like we're still operating on like Windows like 3.1, and we need to like upgrade to XP or whatever, okay? But it becomes habit, so we have to reprogram the way we think. But see, God, here's the thing, God has a lot more confidence in you than you do, doesn't He? And He isn't going to encourage us to do something that we're unable to do. And I really believe that by our discipline and by our commitment to thinking right, and then through His grace and His power in our lives, I believe we can do it. Everyone say, I can do it. Simple minds require spiritual focus. Now, let me close by giving you a handful of things that will help you on the practical end. Because here's the thing. Your mind was not created to be cluttered, okay? Your mind was not created to just be at a standstill. And your mind was made to be moving and going forward. If your brain is cluttered, your brain will not flow very well. It's going to be cluttered. It's going to slow down. You're going to become overwhelmed with these things. In fact, several months ago, I remember sitting down with our staff and just saying, listen, guys, we're all busy. We know what that's like. We oversee a lot of stuff. We're understaffed, really. We need more help. And so we really have to hone in on being effective in what we're doing. Many of you know what I'm talking about. In your jobs or in your workplaces, understaffed, you know, you got to be focused. You don't have time to waste. You can't afford to have 3 days in a week that you're not functioning at top capacity. I mean, you have to really be giving it your all every time you're there. And so I remember saying to the team, I said, look, part of the way that we're going to be effective is by keeping our minds very simple, very clear. Because here's the thing, the less cluttered my mind is, the more effective I'm going to be in what I'm doing. So I threw out a couple practical things then that I'll share with you today that I think will help us. And it has helped us as a staff. First of all, I shared this. Number one, if it's on your mind is not clear. If it's on your mind isn't clear. Look, whatever it is, okay, whatever is on your mind, if it's on your mind, there's no way your mind is clear. Because here's the thing. Again, like I said, your mind was made to be active, which is an act. Your mind was made to think, which is an action, not just to hold. When your mind is just in holding pattern, you're not going anywhere. It's like when you're on an airplane and you're in a holding pattern, you're just sitting there, you're not going anywhere. A lot of our brains are doing that. Man, they're just sitting there. You know, and God says, man, I want your mind to move. And the truth is most of our brains just don't do very well when they're cram-packed with a million unorganized thoughts. And see, the reason this happens is because we don't spend enough time emptying out our mental storage holders or mental storage containers, our brains. So one of the best things you can do, and this is so practical, but it'll so help you. One of the best things you can do is sit down and literally just have what's called a brain dump. Just dump out everything that's in here. Get it out on paper. And get it out and look at it and say, okay, what do I have going on in my life? Write down every task, every problem that you're facing, literally everything that's on your mind. Put it down on paper. Get it out of here and on here. It'll make a huge difference. I promise you it will help you. Now, just for a second, think about what your life is like the night before you go away on a family vacation with the kids, which is actually an oxymoron, family vacation with the kids. That's called a family trip. Not a vacation. Anyway, seriously, it's like date night. If you're married, you need to be going on a date night once a week. Not with the kids. That's not date night. Not with another couple. That double dating went out in high school. Anyway, that was for someone. Anyway. So think about this. It's a night before going on a big vacation or maybe right before a midterm exam or maybe a big audit at your work, okay, whatever big thing you might be going through. You're laying in bed, you're trying to sleep, and you've got a gazillion thoughts going through your head, and you're sitting there going, why can't I sleep? So what do? You get up and you eat, right? No, you get up and you begin writing these things down. You get out a piece of paper and you say, I got to clear this stuff out of my mind. As you start writing this stuff down, and suddenly you begin feeling better. Your mind feels more rested, your mind feels more relaxed, and you're able to go back to sleep. Because see, your brain wasn't made to be cluttered. And believe me, I know what it's like, man. If I don't capture my thoughts and get them out, and man, they will just build and build, and they will create anxiety and stress and confusion. And so for me, I mean, everybody has a different system. I have a little BlackBerry that I carry around. I take, every time I have a thought, I go, man, first of all, I don't have that much room up here, so I got to hurry up and get it out from here into this. Why aren't you guys laughing? Oh, I see. Some of you are like, amen. No. But see, so I got to get it from here to here as quick as I can, because to tell you the truth, man, I need my brain to be functioning at its best capacity as possible. And so I'll take out my phone, I'll email myself this thing, and some of you, you know, you have jobs that you just have to be creative all the time. And you got to be innovative in the way you think. And can I just say this on a side note? Man, everybody has creativity on the inside of them. I really believe that. The scriptures tell us, man, that you and me, we were created in the image of the ultimate creator, God, okay? And which means you have creativity in you. So if you don't feel creative, don't say, oh, Lord, make me creative. No, no, no. The prayer needs to be, God, help me to figure out what's keeping that creativity from flowing in my life. Because God has made you and me creative. We have that. Anyway, those of you with jobs that maybe require that constant creativity and innovation on an hourly basis, look, let me just say that when your mind is cluttered, that creativity will not flow as well as it could. But when you become, when your mind becomes clean and clear of clutter, man, that creativity will flow so much better. So I would encourage you to do this. I mean, on a daily basis, weekly basis, man, take out a piece of paper, get rid of everything that's in your mind, lay it out on paper. Now, it doesn't stop there, because the second thing that I would encourage you to do is this. After you've written everything down, clarify exactly what your commitment is. And decide what your next action step will be towards fulfilling it. All you really need to write down there is next action step. Man, clarify, what's the next thing I need to do? Because here's what happens. We get overwhelmed when we think of tasks or we think of projects. We, for some reason, think that we have to have it all done at one time, or we have to be able to have foresight of every single angle. Sometimes you do. But so many times, all you really need to do is say, what's my next action step? What's the next step? Not nine down the road, not what do I got to do 4 weeks from now. What is my next step I need to take? Now, what I do is I have sitting on my desk a stack of just plain white paper, just typing paper, whatever, typing paper, who types? Anyway, copying paper, whew, I had like a flashback to like 81 right there. Anyway, so I have this stack of paper, and here's what I'll do. Whenever a thought or perhaps a problem comes up or whatever, I will take that sheet of paper out, and I'll grab a Sharpie marker on the top of the page. I will write down whatever it is. For instance, I might have a meeting coming up, and I'll write down leadership team meeting or a meeting, team meeting, whatever. And then I'll ask myself, okay, what is my next action step towards accomplishing this? Now, in that case, it might be something as simple as NAS, next action step, create meeting agenda. Okay, or maybe it's a family vacation you're getting ready to go on. What do you do? Take out the piece of paper, family vacation. What's the next action step? Call the hotel, make reservations. Get it from here to there, and I promise you, you will not feel as overwhelmed as you probably do most of the time. And then what I do is I take all my sheets and I put them in a file folder. And in that file folder, I have access to every project or issue that I'm dealing with in my life at any given moment. So you know, and our whole staff does this. At any moment, I can ask our staff, tell me what you're working on. They can say, in fact, every week they do what's called a project report. On that project report, it has every project with their next action step on it. And I tell you, it helps you. At any given moment, you know what every project is in your life. And you know what next step you need to take to accomplish that. Does this seem good? All right. And if it doesn't, just fine. Be cluttered. Anyway. By the way, I just want to mention there's a great book that you need to get that will help you. It's called Getting Things Done, The Art of Stress-Free Productivity by David Allen. Has anybody read this book? You need to. This is a great book. And I promise you it will help you. So here's the deal. We got to get it out of our heads. We got to get it on paper. We've got to decide what is our next action step. And I'm telling you, these things will help you. Now, as we close, I want you to just for a moment, I'll give you the title of that again, Getting Things Done, The Art of Stress-Free Productivity by David Allen. I would tell you that I'll put it on our blog today, but I'll probably forget because I don't have anything to write it down on. Anyway, imagine with me what your life would feel like if your mind was more organized, if your thought life was filled with what God says instead of what our society or our culture says. I mean, imagine what our lives would be like. I mean, imagine you're a thought life that is controlled by your Creator. Let me close with a scripture. Really sums it all up. It's found in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. It says this, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Verse 6, if your sinful nature controls your mind, there is what? Death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. If your sinful nature controls your mind, which is pretty much what happens if you don't get a grasp on your mind, it says there's death. And your life will just feel like death. You won't go anywhere. You'll feel stuck. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. And I don't know about you, but life and peace sounds a lot more better to me than death. And so as we pray this morning, would you join me in just asking God to help us to think how He wants us to think? Let's ask God to give us the grace that we need to keep our minds, our thoughts on who He says we are and how we should think than on how everybody else tells us we should think. Would you pray with me this morning? Let's bow our heads. God, we this morning just want to just take a moment and, speaking of next action step, maybe we need to ask ourselves that. After hearing these things today, what is our next action step, God? For some of us, it might mean that we have to start being more selective in what we're allowing into our minds. For others, it might mean just being willing to just take one step forward in their spiritual journey and say, you know, this all sounds really good. I'm going to commit to come into this place again. I'm going to commit to figuring out maybe who God is. God, for others of us, it might just be getting very practical and sitting down and just really dumping out all those thoughts that our minds tend to get so consumed with. But God, no matter what, help us all to respond somehow. God, help us all to not just be hearers of Your word, but to be doers. God, thank You for great minds. God, I believe it's Your will that every one of us are thinking clearly and thinking in an organized way and thinking innovatively and creatively. God, help us to be those kind of people. Because I believe that, man, we could really make even just a greater impact in this world if we were people who thought outside of the box and thought creatively. And God, we just pray these things now, and we ask You to help us by Your grace and Your power. In Christ's name, amen.